Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank and the 20K Good Business Giveaway. Submit a video explaining how your business does good by October 24th for a chance to win $20,000. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest.
Said that you are going to, quote, go all UFC on your TV, end quote. You're about to give it a little Khabib shot.
Yeah. Put it in the chokehold.
By the way, Conor McGregor was here in Denver this weekend.
I didn't even know that.
He was at Shanahan's on Saturday, and he was at the Dallas football game.
I saw him
yesterday
in Dallas.
I think he's promoting, he's got a whiskey or something like that.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, why were you going to beat up your TV?
Fourth quarter, score was 20-10. Broncos are putting together a nice little drive. And they have the ball at the 11-yard line, first and 10. They get 5 yards. Second and 5 at the 6. They throw a pass to the right, which was kind of confusing because you had two guys in the same area. One, Manuel, ran a little short, little quick out, and Sutton was, I don't know what he was supposed to do, but didn't look like they both did what they're supposed to do. Manuel looked right. I don't know if Sutton stopped short or what, but that didn't look right. So you had a 3rd and 5. Okay, we need a touchdown here. You want to capitalize on this situation. You're only down 10 points. Okay, that's it. And you have 9 minutes left to go in the game. Okay. You're down 10.
Okay.
3rd and 5 at the 6-yard line. You got bunch formation. You got all your receivers on the right side. And who do you have on the left? You got your tight end.
Hyerman.
Jeff Hyerman on the left. Okay. Fine. Whatever. But I'm certainly not going to throw him the ball on a fade route. What did they do? They threw him a fade, and not only did they throw him a fade, what's the first no-no, okay, on 3rd and 5. But Case threw it 10 yards out of bounds. It wasn't even close. Didn't even give him a chance.
It looked awful.
Like a waste play. Yep. Like you were up 10, or you're up 7, all you were trying to do is get a field goal. Okay, it's not there. I'm just going to throw it away. Right? Just don't take a sack. You know, it's like one of the end-of-half plays or one of those plays where don't take a sack, don't throw an interception.
Hey, well, let's finish this conversation in a second. Let's go live to Dove Valley. Vance Joseph.
Vance. He will go to Iora, and we'll figure out who comes up as far as the offensive line concerns. Big loss for us. Great leader, great player. Other than that, we got Jared Verdier, who's got a right knee bone bruise. He is day-to-day, and Adam Pac-Man Jones with the left eye. Day-to-day. Questions? He can practice. So, obviously, it's a short week. It's a walkthrough today, walkthrough tomorrow, and a couple fast periods on Wednesday, but he's back to practice, yes.
How about Jordan Taylor?
Jordan's also back to practice. Yeah. Same deal as Sua.
That's
a huge loss for us, you know, from a leadership perspective. From a player perspective, it's a huge loss. But, you know, we have great depth, you know, in that room, obviously, with McGovern and Max Garcia being the starters now, and Sam Jones dressing on game day. So we'll see how that works out. But I feel good about that room. I do.
When you and Ben looked at the tape from yesterday's game, are you able to pinpoint anything with what's going on in the run defense the last couple weeks?
Our run defense, Nikki, in our nickel package, you know, have not been good at all. You know, versus the base stuff, it's been okay. But versus the 3-wide, 1-tight, 1-back stuff, it's been bad the last 2 weeks. And it's really about fits. It's about tackling, you know. It's about calls. It's all those things, you know, and it hasn't been good. You know, it's got to get better quickly.
the notion that you kind of played that game, your strategy was to kind of take away the pass from Goff. There was then the three receivers and not let Gurley run for 200.
Right. You pick your poison. Obviously, Mike, that offense was explosive, and they've scored their points through the passing game. You know, so I thought our plan, you know, helped to contain the passing game. But by no means our plan was to let Gurley rush for 200 yards. That wasn't the plan. You know, and again, when you're playing more shell coverage to take care of the pass game, you're going to be a little vulnerable to the running game. But fitting it and tackling, that's no excuse. You know, so that being said, that was the plan. But inside of that plan was also to contain the run game. And we didn't do that.
Are you lacking speed? Are you lacking strength? Are you lacking...
I wouldn't say that. You know, I think, you know, stopping a run game is a mindset. You know, I mean, you can't go out there and not have your mind to defend the run. You know, that's half the battle, Mike. You know, it's a mindset. So we have to get back to getting off blocks, you know, fitting the run game, and having tough downs and, you know, winning tough downs. That's the bottom line.
John, about 760 saying that you guys need to play like you're fighting for your lives this week. Does it feel like that from, I guess, your perspective, the team's perspective, the 2-4?
Absolutely. You know, we've lost four games in a row, and, you know, everyone's fighting for their lives, and that's the way we have to play each game we play. And in this league, if you're not desperate, Troy, you don't win. You know, so that doesn't change anything, you know, from week to week for us. Every week we feel like we're desperate, you know, to win a football game. So that won't change.
Did you do a lot of things to help Garrett Bowles make a jump in year two this year? Why do you think he hasn't shown that growth and he continues to get penalties?
Well, Garrett Bowles' penalty was a bad call. That was a bad call. Okay, the kid flopped on him. It's plain as day. So he is getting better. He's being coached. He wants to get better, but his call was a bad call.
How about the previous ones? I mean,
the previous ones wasn't. Okay, but he's fighting for his life every Sunday. Okay, he's blocking the best guys in the league as far as the rushers. And sometimes you grab a guy, you pull a guy. But with experience, he will play cleaner. But the call Sunday was a bad call. That's all I can say about that.
With Thursday night football, a lot of times players say they don't want short weeks. Everyone yesterday was saying because of the performance on Sunday, they're excited to get right back.
Yeah. And that's the only cure for this, is to get back on the field and win a football game. So I'm excited about Thursday. You know, it's a short week, but where we are, it's what we need.
Did you say Sam Jones would come up on Sunday?
Yes, he will come up.
With the changes on the offensive line the past few weeks, how much does that change your game plan at all going into this week, or do you keep everything the same?
Not the same system, same game plan.
Case has had really good starts and pretty good fourth quarters as well, but the second and third quarters he struggled. How do you make sure he's more consistent throughout all 60 minutes?
Well, you know, I mean, he has to play better, but he's had some good moments, and that's not just Case. That's running the football better. That's blocking the pressures and those things, and guys making plays on the ball for Case. So it's not just Case being more consistent. It's our entire offense.
Did you protect well enough to open the formation as much as you guys do?
From time to time we do, you know, and most of our open formations are quick game, and it's really box read. So if it's a heavy box, we throw it. If it's a light box, we hand it off. So it really gives us a clear picture, you know, what we're seeing when you're in three wides and one, you know, one tight end, one back, and you're in a shotgun. It's a clear picture for the quarterback. You know, if it's a check with me opportunity, if it's shell, he hands it off. If it's single eye, he throws it. And it's really quick passes.
The mistakes you make, it seems like they hurt you more than others. You're not quite there where you can overcome those little mistakes.
I think where we are, Mike, you know, our margin for error is small. You know, I mean, we can't make the normal football mistakes. You know, for instance, Sunday our offense would have had 10 more points, you know, without those penalties. Emmanuel's penalty, that was at least 4 points. The two holding calls was three, and the interception was probably 3 points. So that's 10 points that we didn't get because of penalties. So I agree with you. You know, right now where we are, we cannot make mistakes.
You played arguably two of your better games against the Chiefs and Rams. Yeah. Kind of the positive relief, certainly near there. What is the key to winning games now, your favorite on the road against an Arizona team where obviously the road's been an issue for a year plus?
I think execution, you know, simple execution, you know, doing things right, obviously playing hard and making plays. That's what it comes down to. You know, our team every week is going to be competitive, you know, but the bottom line, to win close games, it comes down to being very detailed in your job and obviously making plays.
Yeah, when John says on radio, everybody's fighting for their lot, you interpret that as fighting for your job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's every coach in this league, every week. You know, if you don't feel that way, you're missing something. So, you know, if we were, you know, 5-1, I would feel that way. You know, so that doesn't motivate me. I'm already motivated to, you know, win games and to fix our football team.
Anything else?
Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right, that was Vance Joseph at the podium just now from Dove Valley. We're going to take a quick timeout. A handful of things to react to, including one statement from Vance that just simply may not be true, and I'll tell you exactly what it is next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 and a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/businesscontest for more details.
We just heard Vance Joseph speak, and I'm going to ask you in a second what you took away, if there was a nugget that kind of stuck with you. But, you know, something that he said there, near the end of his media availability over there at Dove Valley, he said, every Sunday we're going to be competitive.
I heard that.
And unfortunately for Vance Joseph and all of us in Broncos country, that was not the case a week ago. You were not competitive against the New York Jets. You were beaten down, humiliated, and said uncle. And really that loss against the Jets is still sticking with me today, because you win that football game, and I heard Schlereth and Evans talk about this, reference it. I've heard Pritchard and Cecil reference it, and it bears reiterating. You beat the Jets. You're a 3-3 football team with 10 games in front of you.
Yeah.
That is a world, a galaxy different than 2-4.
And a 4-game losing streak now.
And a 4-game losing streak
now. And you
now.
Talk about, you know, we're competitive every game. It also goes back to having you think about last year and the 8 games that they lost in a row, but the margin that they lost those games by. That's what I started thinking about, was nobody lost by more points and got blown out more than the Denver Broncos last year. They weren't competitive last year.
Correct.
They weren't competitive against the Jets, a bad football team. Now you've played two really good football teams, albeit at home, and you've been competitive in those games, Chiefs, Rams. But you have to be able to take your game on the road. You can't play every game at home. So as a coaching staff, you have to find a way to get your team to play good football on the road. I looked at it. I was listening to Vance, and he was spot on about Bowles. That wasn't a penalty. We talked about it earlier. I told you the exact same thing that Vance Joseph said. Exact same thing. That wasn't a holding on a penalty on Bowles. The guy fell down, flopped, and the, you know, referees sometimes they got a lot to look at. They see the guy down and, you know, they throw the penalty. They think you threw him down, but Bowles got hosed on that one.
Is that because, is a part of that because the scouting report is out on Bowles? Maybe subliminally, behind closed doors among the referees, or in meeting rooms with the players, that look, look, this guy holds, and it's sort of out there that, hey, you can get over on him.
Sure. I think that's probably something to do with it, his reputation.
NFL leader in holding penalties.
Yeah. I think that probably had something to do with it, but I thought he got they threw a bad flag on him right there. He shouldn't have got called for that. Guy just fell. I mean, Bowles didn't throw him down. The guy fell. Just fell. And that was it. And it was an untimely penalty because we had a nice little play. I forgot who we threw the ball to, but I think it might have been Booker, somebody. But we had a good game on that play, and we were in field goal range. Things were moving in the right direction. Next thing you know, holding, holding. Second and 30. Okay, we got no chance. Probably should have just punted it then so we don't screw up anymore. Okay, so he was spot on about Bowles. And look, he's right. Their margin for error is very, very small. You can't do the things that they keep continuing to do and beat football teams. They're not good enough. That's what we talked about earlier. You can't do it, Emmanuel Sanders. You can't point in somebody's face over and over and over again and not expect a penalty. And then after the game, you say the NFL is soft. Well, when have you ever been able to do that in ever? You just can't do it. And you can't have those types of mistakes if you're the Denver Broncos and you want to try to win football games.
Pretty simple. It's pretty simple. And we are seeing, this football team with a lot of the same undisciplined nature that we watched last year. You know, and the Broncos didn't lose. Well, I guess you could make an argument that the ripple effect would have gone throughout the game, the Emmanuel Sanders play, that you could formulate an argument saying that he cost you. But there was way more plays than that. But I'll say this, though, and I hate doing this. I hate doing this because we do it too often. But I got to do it here. I just couldn't see a member of Bill Belichick's team getting in the end zone, going to find the defender and sticking his finger in his face. I pardon me. I just can't see it.
It doesn't happen. Just doesn't happen. For whatever reason. And when you look at the Broncos situation, you can't allow it to happen. You just can't. You can't cost yourself football games. Because guess what happens if you keep losing football games? Guys are going to lose their jobs. You're not good enough to not do the little things. You got to do the little things to give yourself a chance to win the football game. Let the other team do those stupid things. But if you do those things, you're not going to win. And that's what the Broncos keep doing. And that's why it's so frustrating watching them over and over and over again during this four-game losing streak. It's one thing after another. Mistake after mistake. Mental mistake, physical mistake. You name it. They're doing it all.
Stoke.
I haven't even finished my worst play that I wanted to UFC the TV.
Oh.
I wanted to put in the chokehold, the kebab.
Yeah, the Khabib.
Khabib. The Khabib chokehold. I wanted to put it in the chokehold. I got to finish it. Can I?
Yes, we'll do it next.
All right.
Stoke, you are going to get in a fist fight with your TV. You're going to take some frustration out on your television.
Yeah.
Destroying inanimate objects.
Well, I was in the middle of breaking it down, and we got interrupted. So I just want to try to finish why I was so frustrated.
Reset the scenario, because I need it, and I know our listeners do too.
Okay. Now I got to go back and find where I was. Here we go. Score was 20-10. Broncos driving right after a missed field goal by the Rams. And they have a first and goal first and 10 at the 11-yard line going in. Nice positive play on first down to Jeff Heuerman. He's pushed out of bounds for 5 yards. You got a second and 5 at the 6. You're in a good spot. You can run it or pass it. And, you know, you throw the ball to the right, to Emmanuel, I believe. It's incomplete. Now you got a 3rd-and-5. Money down. You got to make this one. You got to find a way to get this in the end zone. Get a first down. You have to. You're down 20-10. Okay, your defense is playing their tails off. Okay, so what do we have drawn up here? I can't wait to see it. You know, I'm excited. Let's see what Bill Musgrave has drawn up. Okay, I look at the TV. Bam. We got to the right side. I believe it was Bunch. We got all our receivers over there, though, on the right. On the left, we got none of our receivers. Who do we have? We have Jeff Heuerman split out wide left. I'm fine with that, okay? I don't mind the structure of it at all, okay? I just mind the execution, really. If I'm Case Keenum, I know I'm not throwing it over there, okay?
Not throwing it over there to Jeff Heuerman on the left.
To Jeff Heuerman on the left. I know it. It's thinking third and five, okay? This is a make or break down. This isn't first and five. This isn't first and ten. This isn't second and five. You get me?
I got you.
If it was either one of those two, guess what? If you want to do it, I can live with it. I wouldn't like it, not to Jeff Heuerman, but I could live with it. On third and five at the six, you don't throw a jump ball to Jeff Heuerman. You just don't do it, okay? In zero, none, nil, zilch circumstances do you do that, okay?
Not ever.
Not ever, never, ever. Did I make my point clear?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't like jump balls on third down. Run a play. Diagram a play. Now, if you got Brandon Marshall out there playing receiver, if you got Julio Jones, okay. I can live with it then. But I don't like the coin flip jump ball where your percentages are really low. I can guarantee you percentages on those throw are really low. And then you're going to throw it to Jeff Heuerman on third down? Are you, and then you didn't give him a chance. Maybe he makes a catch. And I'll be like, oh, wow, I wouldn't have done that. But, man, great play, Jeff Heuerman. But you threw it 10 yards out of bounds.
Yeah.
The cameraman had a better chance of catching the football than Jeff Heuerman. In the history, you said something early in the history of the NFL, remember?
Mm-hmm.
No two teams have given up back-to-back 200-yard rushers, right? Well, I'll give you another in the history of the NFL. No ball has ever been caught out of bounds. Ever. In the history of the NFL. It's never been a completed pass out of bounds. And that's where he threw it. Let the play, whatever play Bill Musgrave had diagrammed up, let it develop. And let's go look to the right side and see what we got working over there. Okay? But, so that tells me one of two things here. That tells me Case is uncomfortable and unsure and just wants to say, okay, I got a fade over there. I know I got that. Let me just throw it up there and see, you know, if my guys can make a play.
So is that his first look, though? Like, is that the plan? Like, when they go up to scrimmage and you're getting ready to snap that thing, is that the first look?
Well, I think when you go up there, you know, first of all, I really don't know why you're calling that on third down, okay? But if you go up there and you have the look that you want, okay, we got Jeff Heuerman, you know, matched up against a 5'8" DB. Okay, let's try to take advantage of this. Our 6'4" guy or 6'5", whatever he is, on this smaller size DB. Let's try to take advantage of it. And that's fine on first or second down, not on third down. Have you seen Jeff Heuerman catch a jump ball?
Mm-mm.
Catch a fade?
Mm-mm.
I haven't either, okay? So his next time doing it will be his first time in the NFL. It hasn't happened. And you're going to dial that up on third down? And Case Keenum, you're going to throw that? So obviously, you know, you can talk about it during the week and you can go over and watch film. Hey, this is why we have this play in because of this guy. But Case Keenum has to realize, oh, it's third down and five. That guy is not my most dynamic playmaker. I'm not going to just throw this low percentage ball up to him. I'm looking over here to the right and I'm going to try to, you know, let the play out and see if we can get somebody open that way. So I don't know if Case is uncomfortable, unsure, wants to get rid of the football quickly, and that's why he threw it, or if that was a game plan and said, you know what, if we get this look, we get this matchup, I want you throwing this ball up to him. I'm not sure. But first of all, I hate fade patterns on third down. I hate the jump ball. I hate the low percentage play. And secondly, I put Cortland Sutton over there. I'd much prefer it if it was Cortland Sutton. On third down, I'd say, okay, I can live with it because I've seen this guy make these types of plays before. I still wouldn't like it.
He's probably the only guy qualified in 2018 for that call.
Yeah.
For this football team.
Right.
And let me just say, your just fundamental philosophy about throwing fades is totally synced up with the way I've always felt about it. It just doesn't seem like a great plan unless you have some dynamic freak that has a physical edge that the defense can't make up.
Low percentage.
Very low.
Very low percentage play.
Even four guys like Julio in those moments. It's tough, and it's just, it's always struck me like a play that, and I know it works sometimes, and there's a time and place for it, but it's always struck me like coming across half court and shooting a 3-4 feet behind the line. It's just not a good play. If you can't scheme up enough X's and O's down there in such an important area, I mean, that red area when the windows get tighter, that's when I'm hoping to see the best of our coordination.
Yes.
You know, and you see these other guys around the league, Sean McVay, Doug Peterson, Bill Belichick, these guys around the league figure it out. They find ways
be
to
creative.
Be creative.
Come up with a play that is not a low percentage play. Come up with a play that you schemed this team for, and your quarterback's going to sit in the pocket and let the play out and try to get a touchdown. That's going to give you a higher percentage. You saw, just real quick, your Tom Brady last night, right, against the Chiefs. On that third down, he didn't throw a jump ball up to somebody in that instance, in that situation. He let the play out. He had forever in the pocket. The guy had him sacked, let go of him. And you know what? That was the last thing. That was the last thing on his thing on that play for him to do. Nobody ever thought he was going to take off and run the football, but guess what? He let the play out, and he scored a touchdown. He ran it in. That's not what they talked about. That wasn't diagram.
Definitely not.
But if he would have thrown that 50-50 jump ball up there to Jeff Heuermann, he would have never been able to do that. It would have been incomplete. They had to kick a field goal. Same type of thing. So I don't know who I want to blame for this. I don't know if it's Bill Musgrave or if it's Case Keenum. I don't know what he was coached to do, but it's frustrating. It's frustrating when you see that type of football and you see it on third down, the money down. And there's no reason, there's a reason why they're 3-for-10. They haven't been able to convert third downs all year long. Because plays like that, those downs are very, very important. They're more important than first down in that situation, more important than second down. You can't just throw it up in the air and then you don't even give your guy a chance. At least give him a chance to make a play. Keep it in bounds. So I don't know if I want to put some blame on Musgrave and then some blame on Keenum, or is it all on Keenum? I don't know who all the blame goes to or if it's split, but they got to get that figured out. That's bad football. Bad ball.
I have a stat in front of me that is the most telling statistic from yesterday's game, and it has nothing to do with the run defense. I'll give you it next. I may, in my hand, be holding the most telling stat from yesterday's game. And you would think the one that we're going to remember is for the first time in NFL history, first time ever, that a football team has allowed back-to-back 200-yard rushers. Last week, Isaiah Crowell. This past week, Todd Gurley. That's not the stat that I'm holding in my hand. Stoke, last week, I think it was on Wednesday, I said, do the fans have a vote about Vance Joseph? If the noise gets loud enough, does the organization become receptive to that noise and possibly let it influence a decision of theirs or a change moving forward? And your response was, the way that they have a vote is if they stop showing up. They didn't stop showing up, but nearly 10,000 didn't show up. Over 9,100 folks did not show up. And I'm going to be totally honest with you here. In my gut, that number feels low.
I think it was more no-shows.
I think there was more no-shows, but you don't want to publicize that you had double-digit thousand no-shows, as in 10,000 or more.
See, I was wondering where you're going. Double-digit, no thousands, whatever. Yeah. That
yeah.
Was, yeah.
Double
10,000.
10,000 or more.
Okay.
How about that?
There we go. Clean it up a little bit. Yeah, because I was going to say, look, for those conditions yesterday, 9,100, no shows, and the way the Broncos have been playing, it's not a whole lot. I mean, I thought it might be more than that. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, that's not fun weather to sit out in to watch a losing football team.
Right.
That just got destroyed by the New York Jets.
Right.
So 9,100 to me is like, oh, okay, that's not that bad.
No big deal.
No big deal. And I understand, look, that place is always usually packed.
Mm-hmm.
But I put the way the Broncos have been playing and the conditions, really the conditions that were yesterday, as, okay, 9,100 is not that that big of a deal to me.
If you're playing better football, if you beat the Jets last weekend and you're 3-2 going into that football game, I don't believe you have 9,100 no-shows. I think that there's a growing frustration within this fan base, and I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to see it on social media platforms, people saying, don't show up and don't sell your ticket. You know, I'm starting to see that sentiment, not from one or two people, from a lot. And
well, that's easy for them to say.
Sure.
They don't sell your ticket.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, then why don't you buy my ticket and you not sell it?
Right.
Then you eat that.
Right, right. But part of the problem is once you start to see it affect your attendance and your bottom line, it becomes an issue. So 9,000, let's just keep it at 9,000, even though I believe it was 10,000 or more didn't show up. Let's keep it at 9,000. How much money do you spend at a game when you go for you and the family? Can we call it like, I'm just going to, just a conservative number and see if you agree with it.
Wait, for how many people?
A family of three.
A family of three.
I'll just keep it simple. Mom. Dad.
Junior. Okay.
Let's say
a family of three?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you're going to spend at least, you're going to spend a C-note at least. I mean, you're talking about parking. You're talking about, you know, a couple cold ones, some soda for the little one. You know, he's going to want some candy and popcorn, too.
Right.
And
especially
the wife,
yesterday. It's cold.
The wife's probably going to want, you know, something also. Right. So,
oh, it's cold. We need to buy a winter hat.
Right, yeah. I mean, you're going to spend at least 100.
I'm chilly. I need a liquid jacket.
Yeah, at least 100.
The Broncos nearly lost $1 million yesterday then.
Really?
If you put 9,000 people who are going to spend 100, and that's conservative, who are going to spend 100 bucks, you lost about $1 million yesterday. In popcorn, in winter hats, in parking. I believe that if this trend continues, it's a loud number, right? That's one Sunday, and you only get eight of them at home. Let's not forget. Once it starts to affect the bottom line, and the perception starts to turn, and the sentiment from the fan base is anger and frustration, and the product on the field starts to really reveal itself, this is what leads to coaching changes.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you get people that are in charge, how you get their attention. But you can also flip this script real quick if you're the Denver Broncos and you're this coaching staff. Go out and beat the Arizona Cardinals. Get this thing back on track. You got a couple weeks before you come back home. So you can save people's jobs and you can get this thing flipped around and turn quickly. This isn't an awful football team. There are some holes with this football team, okay? But they're not awful. They are not awful. They do some things that just, look, drive you nuts. If they can clean those things up, look, I mean, they got the Arizona Cardinals this week.
1-5 football team.
Bad football team. You got to find a way to get a W. If you do, then you worry about the Chiefs, you know, after that. It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one. But you got to start right here and right now first. And that's finding a way to beat the Arizona Cardinals. So if you start winning football games, things change quickly.
Sure. No, this is all is not lost here. It really isn't. And this isn't sort of like a, you know, hope floats thing. This is, look, you actually played a really good football game yesterday in a lot of areas. You did. You took a Rams team and held them to 10 points lower than their lowest previous score. You had opportunities. You made Jared Goff, who was the NFL's passing leader, look ordinary. I mean, Jared Goff, if you were to, for all the criticism with Case Keenum, and he deserves it, but Case Keenum played better than Jared Goff did yesterday. I don't even think that's, to me, much of a debate. I really don't. Jared Goff was 50% completion, 200 yards, no touchdowns, an interception, sacked five times, and a quarterback rating that didn't hit 30. Or I should say QBR that didn't hit 30. A quarterback rating that didn't hit 60.
What does QBR stand for?
It's like a...
Does that not stand for quarterback rating?
It doesn't.
No?
Okay. No, it's a... you know, it's one of these things. I don't even know what it stands for, but it's a more.
How could it not stand for quarterback rating?
Yeah.
QBR's got to be quarterback rating, right? Can we get some help? We're Strawberry Man when you need it.
This
somebody?
Is, it's a more, it's a more.
What does QBR stand for, though? I got to know. Quarterback rating.
Total quarterback rating. I typed in, what does QBR stand for in the Google search bar?
Yeah.
And all that comes up is, what does CCR stand for? Oh. And that's Clarence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right.
Boys down on the bayou.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of CCR. Saw them in concert a couple years ago.
Okay.
They just stood in one spot and played.
Yeah.
No energy.
All right.
Still got a little bit, though.
Yeah.
Case, it's
look. He was better than Jared Goff, but you got to find a way to stay on the football field. Third down efficiency, Rams 8 for 17, Broncos 3 for 10. Find a way on those money downs to stay on the football field. The Rams were able to do that. Now that's not all on Case Keenum, and that wasn't all on Jared Goff. That was on that football team. That was on, you know, Todd Gurley also.
Sure.
So, you know, sometimes stats can be misleading because I look at the Broncos defense and I say, okay, you got to pick your poison. And Vance was right. Look, when you're playing nickel and you take one of your run-stopping defensive players, linebacker, out of the game, you put in your nickel corner, which you have to do when they go three wides. Okay, now they have an advantage in the running game. And they took an advantage of that. But you still, yeah, you got gash for 200 and change to Gurley. You held him to 23 points, though.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line, is how many points did you give up? And you held Jared Goff in that passing game in check. You made him kick a lot of field goals. And you gave your offense a chance to win the football game, and the offense continues to let down this football team. And yesterday was a prime example of that. You've got to find a way to win that football game when your defense only gives up 23 points. I put a lot on this defense, and I've been very, very critical of their play for the last 2 years. But, like I said, against that Kansas City Chiefs game and this game, look, the offense has got to play better. And it was on the offense to win those football games. And the offense the other day, sixth game of the year, should be better, needs to be better, and has to be better.
If you score 24 points, you win the football game. Scoring 24 points in a 60-minute NFL game in the year 2018 shouldn't be the tallest task in the world. It really shouldn't. It really shouldn't. And it's costing this team. You win that football game yesterday. First of all, this town's going nuts. The Rams are number one on everyone's power ranking. Number one on everyone's power ranking. The only undefeated team in the NFL. You win that football game, and we are looking at this thing entirely differently. But this isn't horseshoes. You don't get points for coming close.
Yep.
You don't get points for leaners. Okay? Love the pits. But at the same time, you want to be encouraged by some of the things that you saw.
Leaner.
You get the horseshoe leaning up against the pole, that's 2 points.
I like the little shuffleboard.
I love
slide it down there on the salt, and you get that little leaner when it's leaning over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Double.
It's like Chinese football, too, in school. You get leaners.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You don't want any problems in Chinese football, just letting you know.
Oh,
I used to run that thing.
Yeah, well.
They're going to put me in my high school's Chinese football hall of fame next year.
I was the OG. We didn't call it Chinese football. I never heard of that.
What'd you call it? Paper football?
Yeah, something like that. Whatever. Please.
Zach's juice is rare.
You hold the touchdown symbol up across the table?
Yeah, I forgot how. Yeah, like that. That way. Like the U.
You're right.
Yep. I was good from about, you know, and I had, you know, McManus range when it comes to paper football.
Hey, man.
Matt Prater range.
Matt Prater range.
I think I still might have the record for the longest ever.
Is that right? Just a power flick.
Did you ever do the pencil?
Power
the
flick.
Pencil, the number two pencil, or the way they go on by them, where you hold your buddy would hold one of his pencils and you'd have your pencil and you'd cock it back like that, whap, and you try to break it. Y'all never did that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's a good one too. See,
I think that game was specific to the Bayou.
No. Give me some old school people out there. Let me know if you ever played the pencil breaking game. I don't know what we call it, but like that, you get that pencil back like that. Ah, bam!
What will you remember most about yesterday? I want to hear your answer, but first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 and a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit eFirstBank.com/business contest for more details.